CEOs and tech giants respond to Charlottesville and the president. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor in for David Brancaccio. President Trump called out white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and the Ku Klux Klan by name yesterday, but it wasn't quick enough for some business executives. Two more high-profile CEOs, including Brian Krzanich of Intel and Kevin Plank of Under Armour, resigned from the president's Manufacturing Advisory Council following the lead of Merck's Ken Frazier. Marketplace's Andy Euler has been following how businesses have been reacting to the events in Charlottesville and gives us this update live. Andy, Intel's boss was pretty direct in his reasoning for the resignation.
Yeah, that's right, Sabri. Krzanich said he resigned to, quote, call attention to the serious harm our divided political climate is causing to critical issues. So it felt a bit more like an attack on how divided Washington has become. Now, Intel has been a pretty visible supporter of Mr. Trump's business initiative so far. Krzanich even stood alongside the president to announce a plan to invest $7 billion in new manufacturing operations in the U.S. So this feels like clearly a bit of a turn.
And, you know, we've had this series of CEOs taking symbolic stands yesterday related to the president's delayed reaction. But we've also seen other companies take very direct, practical actions in response to the events in Charlottesville.
Yeah, that was specifically aimed at the neo-Nazi website, The Daily Stormer. Now, what happened was GoDaddy, the web hosting company, announced it was going to stop hosting the website because The Daily Stormer had broken its terms of use. The site had earlier attacked Heather Heyer, the woman who was killed at the white nationalist rally in Charlottesville. Now, we talked with James Grimmel, an internet law expert at Cornell University, about the legal grounds for this move.
U.S. law explicitly gives companies in this situation the right to do this. It's part of the same law that protects companies like YouTube or Reddit from being liable for user-posted content.
So then when GoDaddy said it was pulling the plug, the Daily Stormer reportedly tried to transfer its domain name to Google, which also canceled its registration. Now, LinkedIn also disabled the Daily Stormer's chief technology officer's account on its platform.
All right. Well, Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you. The U.S. International Trade Commission, an independent federal agency, begins hearings today on whether U.S. solar manufacturers are being unfairly hurt by foreign competition. The hearings could lead to tariffs on all foreign-made panels, protecting some U.S. companies while raising prices in the U.S. Marketplace's Jed Kim has more.
Several U.S. companies that make solar panels have gone bankrupt or downsized in recent years. Two companies have asked for tariffs on foreign-made panels they say are driving them out of business. Some companies that sell American panels are also being affected. Edward Harner is COO of Green Solar Technologies, which is an installer.
We've seen increased price pressures from other companies that use imported panels.
His company is for the tariffs, but much of the solar industry is opposed to import taxes. Abigail Hopper is president of the Solar Energy Industries Association. She says higher prices would hamstring installers, technicians, and other sectors of the solar industry.
Demand will decrease, and with that decrease in demand, there's going to be significant job losses. We estimate those to be about 88,000 Americans will lose their jobs.
The ITC could recommend by mid-November that tariffs be put in place. Then it'd be up to President Trump to decide. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.25% range, with the Dow future up 55 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.26%. When is it okay to ask children to translate for their parents in emergency situations? It's a question law enforcement agencies are wrestling with more and more. That's because 18.5 million U.S. children have at least one immigrant parent, and more than half of those parents don't speak English fluently. Erica Celeste reports from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Though Fort Wayne is only a medium-sized city of 254,000 people, there are about 100 languages spoken here. So it can be tricky for authorities to follow the Civil Rights Act, which forbids children from translating during emergency situations.
When our officers respond to a crisis situation, oftentimes children are at the forefront of that.
Police Department Multicultural Liaison Ricardo Robles says he knows police can't rely on children all the time, but points out that the law does make exceptions for life or death situations.
For the safety of everyone involved, you know, we see them as a resource.
If emergency officials don't comply with the law, they risk losing federal funds for things like equipment and training. Fort Wayne has a budget of $10,000 a year for translation, or roughly 222 hours of service. So it must rely on nonprofits and good relationships with the immigrant community for help. Anna Giusti with the Fort Wayne Center for Nonviolence says while things are improving, she still sees too many police reports that rely on kids to translate for their parents during non-life-threatening calls.
You don't have to pay them. I am not taking the time to call an interpreter or to pay for anybody else.
Not only can it cause trauma for the child, but Munir Ahmad with Yale Law School says an inaccurate police report can affect a legal case.
For those who are non-English speakers, the consequence is a real degradation of the quality of justice in the system as a whole.
Alejandro Morales, a language broker expert, says it's difficult to know how often children translate for law enforcement because there is no national database.
This is a topic that is fairly new. Policymakers, educators, even politicians don't necessarily know about this topic.
As awareness of the issue grows, many mid-sized cities such as Fort Worth, Tulsa, and New Orleans have created programs to educate law enforcement and work with immigrant communities. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, I'm Erica Celeste for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.